Today we're in Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to look at the first 20 verses of Ephesians 5 today. Now, in chapter 4, we had a list of sins, and it was so great to get to the part where we see that as we put on the new man, the Lord Jesus Christ, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. That God's power, God's awesome help, God's conforming spirit is with us and on us to work against these things that hurt him and that hurt us. And so what a precious thing to find. And we also found out in chapter 4, which is really summarized in verse 1 of chapter 5, that it's all about love. Because as we break commands in the first table of the law, these are things that refer to holiness. That refer to sinning against God. Thou shalt have, thou shalt make no graven image is a sin against the Lord, because God is God and no idol of stone or wood is God. And we know that. And we should honor the Sabbath day. We should keep it holy, holiness to the Lord. And so that's a beautiful. And then the fulfillment of the second law is really the righteousness. Those are the acts that we do for one another in the name of the Lord and keep ourselves from doing. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness or lie or covet your neighbor's anything. And so these are things having to do with the second law. And the new man, we're told to put on the new man made in righteousness and holiness. So the righteousness, the second table of the law, and the holiness, the first table of the law. And it all ends up really in love. For all the law and the prophets are fulfilled in this: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And like unto this, love your neighbor as yourself. So let's read verse 1 of chapter 5 as we continue in how to walk with the Lord. It says this: But you therefore, followers of God, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Think about the relationship you have with your children or your grandchildren or your spiritual children, and just be blessed with the knowledge that God wants us to be as dear children with him, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. And so God is love, and he's asking us to walk in him, to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, to walk in him. But, verse 3, fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becomes saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, to your walk with him, these things. Now, when I first read jesting years ago in the King James translation here, to put away jesting, that kind of bothered me, because I knew of how many great family times we had telling jokes at the dinner table. And it's so true. One of my sons is the funniest guy you'll ever meet. Joshua, he's so funny. And Pastor Bill's always saying, I miss Josh, because he could always bring a laugh through anything. But anyway, so I read this verse, and I misunderstood at first. I think we can't joke anymore. No, that's not what it means. And in modern translation, you'll see what it means, because it says coarse jesting. Now, that makes a lot of sense. The dirty jokes God does not like. And so when a group gathered together at work or something because somebody's got the latest off-color joke, the Christian's thing to do is to really reprove that by walking away and just not participating in that. And so the Lord wants us to put off the coarse jesting, which isn't convenient. But we should rather be giving thanks to the Lord. A thankful heart works good like a medicine. A merry heart works good like a medicine. And you can help the poor guys at work and girls and at work that are just on their downers. And and thinking about all the things that are coming against them, because they are legion that come against every family and every life. But if you can be thankful, that is going to be very attractive to them. Wow, we have over here a thankful person. And of course, then there'll be persecution if they're telling dirty jokes. They'll get on your case. Oh, Smiley Charlie over here, the reverend. Let's just get away from him so that we can tell the off-color jokes and laugh and so forth with that. But you know, the thing is you're there. And when one of those folks is in trouble, who do they come to? The Christian. Because the Christian has a sense of life in them. And I'll never forget Joanne Lang, who used to come to church here. She began as a bartender, and she had a very miserable life, and really hard, and just the kids getting away from her and so forth, and was bad. She came to Jesus, and for a while there, after she came to the Lord, she was still working at the bar, and people would say, "What happened to you? What's all this joy about that you have?" And she would smile big and she said, "It's Jesus." And so she got to witness to all of her bar friends before the Lord took her out of there and made her a Bible teacher. So beautiful. It's just beautiful the way God does that. And so we want to go with the clean life. Now it says in verse 5, "For this you know, that no immoral person or impure, unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater," it's really idolatry, and not loving God, "has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience." There is a day of wrath coming, and there is a hell. There's a book out right now that Sherry was reviewing on her little Kindle, and this guy is trying to tell us that there is no hell, that all of these things are metaphors and so forth, and that God, the loving God, would never send anybody to hell. But actually, we know that God doesn't send people to hell as much as people send themselves to hell, and they actually create their own hell right here. With every negative thought and negative thing and every selfish deal going down is what people come to be about in life. No wonder they're miserable. They're just miserable. And so the thing is that we have to move away from false doctrine like that for sure. I warn you against that, that this is the latest big grind in the intellectual community, that there is no hell. I had a guy tell me years ago, "There's no devil." Well, the devil was happy with that, I'm sure. He wouldn't be recognized. But these things are all taught by Jesus Christ in the Bible, and we are men and women of the Bible. Amen? And we want to stick real close to the Holy Ghost and to what God has to say. And there is a day of wrath coming. And so because of these things comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. But be not therefore partakers with them. We've been washed. All the old things are washed away. Behold, all things have become new. We're walking as Christians in this life. And so we want to be careful not to go back to the old life and not partake of these things that are going to bring the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. And so it's a plea by the Lord. And it goes on now to say, and we want to spend some time on verse 8, "For you were sometimes darkness." Mm-hmm. You were walking in darkness, just like our sister I shared about, who shared many times with the church, it's nothing secret, that she came from darkness in the bar life to light, to the Bible teaching, and she is a woman of the light. "For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Walk as children of light. Now this clause is used in the Bible and other places, and I want to just spend a little time on this idea of walking in light. It's kind of like putting on the coat, putting on the Lord Jesus Christ. is walking in the light. Let's get first 1 John chapter 1, verses 4 through 7 in the New Testament here. We go back, not the Gospel of John, but there's three little Johns in the back just before Revelation. There's just one little book between Revelation and these three Johns, Jude. So we go to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 4. If you're ever having trouble with a joyful living, joyful life, and you just feel like you've lost your joy, you just lost it. You don't know where it went, just it went out the window, there's no joy, and there's struggling with depression and all. You know what you can do? Just read 1 John. Let's read in verse 4 why this book was written, one of the reasons. And so let's look at verse 4. These things write we unto you. Why? That your joy may be full. I want to fill up your joy. It's like going to the joy gas station. It's like, fill her up. And you don't have to wash the windows because the fullness of joy is enough. And you can just drive away. Beautiful. We write these things unto you. 1 John. That your joy may be full. So let's read on. This then is the message which we have heard of him. This is John telling us that he heard from Jesus. And declare unto you that God is light. As we just read in Ephesians there, we're springing off of this idea of light. God is light. And Jesus is the light of the world. And as Jesus fills you and I, he says to us in the Sermon on the Mount, you are the light of the world. Because we're filled with him. And we want to walk in the light. Ephesians told us, walk in the light. Read on. And in him is no darkness at all. Zero darkness in God. Zero. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, in these things that we're reading about, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, first of all, it says you have fellowship one with another. Oh, the beauty, the preciousness, the closeness of having fellowship. It's the Greek word koinonia. And that same word means communion. You have a communion going on with Christ in you and Christ in me together, fellowshipping. There's this sweet, sweet communion going on. And as we remember the Lord's death and we allow him to be the light of our life. There's a song like that. You light up my life. Yes, he does, because he's the light. And so as I ask him in, as I put on the Lord Jesus Christ, then I am accepting the light of the world. Now, what does the light do? The light shines on you, and he's like a big flashlight. I always pictured the flashlight this big with a giant switch right here. And so when I decide to ask Jesus to help me and to come into my life and I want to put him on, he comes up to my heart, my whole center being of my body, and he goes, and that light is searching my heart. Search me, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in me, anywhere in there, and lead me in the way everlasting. This is the prayer, and this is the prayer he wants to put on our hearts, to begin to walk in the light. Whatever you show me is wrong, God, change it. And help me, Lord, to just be in submission to you. To put my hands up to the Lord. Hands of surrender and the hands of praise to our God. Be in thanksgiving, not in the coarse jesting. And so I lift up my hands and I'm surrendering to God. I'm letting his light expose me. And then I'm confessing sin. And look what he says next about walking the light. He says, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us. And this Greek word means is continuing in a cleansing, continual cleansing from all sin. He paid for it on the cross 2,000 years ago, and then he spends his time in this continual cleansing. My words have made you clean. There's the washing of the water by the word. I had this Sunday school teacher years ago that said, every time he takes a shower, he says, oh Lord, just like this water's washing me clean outwardly, Lord, be washing me right now in Jesus' name. Cleansing me. Get me ready for the day, Lord. Open my heart to you to show me anything that I might need to confess to you. Anything that's wrong between us. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us, this cleansing, from all unrighteousness. And so the exhortation to walk in the light. Now, as we are children of light and we're walking in the light, God blesses us with discerning the future. Did you know that? Now, a lot of folks go to the fortune tellers. Yeah, they do. And they read tarot leaves and do all kinds of weird stuff. I don't know if they have crystal balls anymore or not. But anyway, it's a whole bunch of worldly stuff because we have a natural bend to really want to know what's around the corner. But if you're a child of the light and you're walking in the light, God actually gives you the discernment about the future. And one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit that we're told about in John 14 is that he will show you things to come. Yeah, the Holy Spirit of God. And so I want to turn to this idea over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And so you want to look for the T's in the New Testament. You go back from 1 John, back, Hebrews, Philemon, 2 Timothy is one of the T's. But you want to go to the very first T, and that would be 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And let's start at verse 1 in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. This is concerning end times. What's going to happen next? Of the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need that I write unto you, for yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord, the judgment of God that's coming, so comes as a thief in the night. Now, a thief in the night. And that really speaks of a bad news thing for a lot of people that are walking in all of this wrath and so forth, the wrathful things, things that cause the wrath of God to take, how did it read back there in Ephesians? The wrath of God will come upon those the children of disobedience. That's it. Okay, so as we're walking along then in the Lord, God begins to speak to us about what's coming, and he will not then come upon us as a thief in the night. For the thief in the night idea comes upon them, that is the wicked. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains, actually, as travail upon a woman with child. And they shall not escape this a day that will come when the wrath of God happens on the earth. But it will come as a thief in the night. I remember when the film series came out about end times, and the first film in the series was called A Thief in the Night. And I took a group of junior high girls to see the movie. And it was all about being chased by Antichrist and helicopters and stuff like that chasing you. Those that will be left after the rapture of the church. And these girls got so scared. I'll never take a group of junior high kids again to see that movie. But moms began to call me. Oh, yeah. where did you take my daughter? She came home and she's terrified. She can't even sleep. And you know, I've heard a few adults tell me that too about that movie. Well, it's just a movie. It's not the Bible, you know. But they just put a lot of drama to it and so forth. And it was kind of scary, I guess, if you look at it that way. So these girls were just freaking out over that. But the Lord wants you to see the next scriptures about how you're not a child of darkness, but of the light. Let's read. It says, I read that already. But you, brethren, verse 4, but you, brothers and sisters, that are as dear children to the Lord. You're the apple of his eye. He's the lover of your soul. And he will guide you and lead you into all truth. And he will guide you, actually, as it says in the book of Isaiah, continually, about everything in your life. Teach you and instruct you in the way you should go. And be talking to you about the end times things. And so we read, brethren, you are not in the darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. Thank God. Don't have to worry about the thief in the night thing. It will not take those that are in the light, that are not in darkness, that the day should overtake you as a thief. You are all children of light. Now that is the same clause that's used in Ephesians. Same one. You're the children of the light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, go to sleep on spiritual things, but be watchful, waiting and looking for the second coming of Jesus. But let us watch and be sober. Now, this word sober means it's not to be drunk. That's what this word means. We know that from the next verse. It says, for they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, as we are walking in the light and in the day, looking to Jesus, letting him search us, and confess back to him those things that he finds with his giant flashlight, and just begin to walk with him that way, you see, we are not appointed to wrath, verse 9, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So that movie that the junior high kids were watching that was scaring them to death was all about Antichrist chasing people around after the rapture. And I'm so glad that I should have taken the junior high kids to the first part of that movie and said, now we're gone. We don't have to watch the rest. And you guys won't be up all night telling your moms on me. We are children of the day, and we are children of the light. And God has not appointed us to wrath. Now, this is a key scripture in my mind, and there's many scriptures that let us know that on the timeline of events, the rapture is first. And then comes all of the terrible things of the tribulation period. In Revelation chapter 6, last verse, it talks about how that the people will hide themselves in rocks and caves when the wrath of God comes. And they'll cry out and say, the wrath of the Lamb is come. And who is able to stand against that wrath? The tribulation period actually in the book of Revelation begins in chapter 6, verse 1. But the rapture of the church is in chapter 4 of Revelation. Come up here. Says a voice like sounding like a trumpet. And then we get the heavenly scene. And so this is our hope. And the beauty of it, it is the hope of salvation. That put on the helmet in your brain, the hope of salvation, for God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're to pray always, according to Luke. If somebody tells us in the Bible, like Dr. Luke, in the Gospel of Luke, to always pray about something, we should always pray about it. And he says this, pray always that you will be accounted worthy to escape these things and to stand before the Son of Man. And the whole chapter there is about end times. He's speaking about with Luke. But you pray always that you'll be accounted worthy to escape these things and to stand before the Son of Man. And so the Holy Spirit showing you, showing me things to come, things to come, and working with us and on us about these things, that we have hope. We're not as others that have no hope. We're looking for the rapture of the church and the going to be with Jesus rather than the scary things that are going on. Iran's missile launching thing capability. They now have a missile that will reach the United States, as we had headline, and Pastor Bill was giving us a prophecy update yesterday at the men's prayer meeting and reading a headline from a newspaper that Iran now has a launching missile that they can launch that can reach the United States. And they also have a couple of warheads. But they're still working on that. God's still working on it. And we know from the scriptures that Iran will eventually attack Israel. But the Bible tells us that 5/6 of that attacking army, actually hooked up with Russia and other Muslim nations, will be destroyed by the Lord himself. And then the nations actually will see the glory of God and understand that God is God because he's taking care of Israel. And it's so a wonderful thing there. And so the Lord's got a plan. You and I know about it because we're reading about it and the newspaper is confirming it. It's amazing. And so there we are. We're children of the light. And so we are given light on the future. We're not going to be approached by Jesus Christ as a thief in the night, because we're just knowing him and walking with him. And he's speaking to us. He's massaging our hearts. He's just telling us it's going to be okay. You'll hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see that these things don't trouble you. They don't trouble you because Jesus is in charge. And as Pastor Bill said yesterday, he is sovereign. You don't mess with God's sovereignty. He's got a plan, and it's a good plan. And that one more thing about Pastor Bill, he's just sharing that how some folks will say, why are you so happy about war? And he said, you know, I try not to be too happy about it, but it just means that Jesus is coming when that whole deal blows up over there. And so that's what we're happy about. Deliverance, salvation, the beauty of heaven, and deliverance for our loved ones that know him. So we better keep busy, though. Keep our hand to the plow, because we want our loved ones saved, don't we? Oh, God, bring them in. Bring them in, you know. I always remember that old song by Larry Norman, you know. The sun has come, and you've been left behind. Oh, what a sinking feeling that will bring. You know, you got the Christian wife in bed next to the unbelieving husband, knows everything, can tell you anything, even how tall the Empire State Building is. He knows everything. And so then the rapture happens and she's gone. Bam! Zoom! And I don't know if the covers will change or not. I don't know. That's a deep theological question. If anybody knows, just let me know. But he wakes up and she's gone. What a bummer that's going to be. The sun has come and you've been left behind. So we got to make sure, amen? That you're saved, you're born again, you're going to heaven. When the trumpet sounds, you'll go, I'll be right there. No, actually you won't, because it's going to happen really fast. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. I hope I get this right. I think it's that, it is true that the twinkling of an eye is the fastest known human reaction. You can blink your eye in 1/100th of a second. But a twinkling is like 1/1000th of a second, and you are history. You're just out of here. And I don't really know if it's true, but I think it's true. That T-shirt is right. That has the shoes. There's just shoes. And there's like speed streaks coming out of the shoes, and you're just gone. you know, and your converts are there alone, you know. Poor things have to go through the tribulation. Okay, this is good. Let's go back to Ephesians now. Enough of that. And we just know that being walking in the light, you're going to get a lot of light on what's happening. So Ephesians chapter 5. And we go on. So now we read, we stopped at verse 8, so we read verses 9 through 14. It says, "For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable to the Lord. As you walk in the light, you will be demonstrating to your family, to your friends, what is good in the sight of the Lord." It's kind of neat. I had an experience when I was working auto parts 30 million years ago. There's an exaggeration, but we all know it's an exaggeration. Okay, so I'm in the auto parts store, 1974. There you go. Right on, 1974. And I got really discouraged because sometimes when I got tired at the auto parts store, I would say or do something wrong. I would have a bad attitude at work kind of thing. And they all knew I was a Christian. And the boss told me I could pass out little red Bibles, promise Bibles, at the counter. So they all knew I was a Christian, but they would see me in a bad mood, and they would start ragging on me. And so I felt bad. I said, "Lord, I don't want to be a bad witness for you. God, please help me with this." And you know what he told me? He said, "Mark, when you're out of line, they see you're human just like them. But when you're in the Spirit, they see that God was able to save you. So maybe I can save them too." Isn't that a neat thought? So you can rejoice that God is working on you. You do get out of line sometimes, but it just shows you're human. But you ask forgiveness and give it back up to God, and the next day you're filled with the Holy Ghost, and they see the beauty of the Lord in you. And they're encouraged because you're a regular guy just like they are. But you've been saved. And they see then there's something better, something beautiful, something awesome that can happen to them. So it is true that they will observe you, and you'll be proving what is the acceptable, what is acceptable unto the Lord. "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness," verse 11, "but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret." So we won't speak about those things. "But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever does make manifest is light." And so they will be convicted when you're in the Spirit and when you're walking the way God wants you to walk, and you've had a great prayer time in the morning and you came to face work with just this awesome anointing, then they're going to be reproved. And sometimes God might call you to be an outspoken reprover. I think I shared with you just recently, I remembered it again, that I used to cuss really bad in high school. And so much that it became like second nature, and I didn't even know I was cussing. You don't know, it just becomes a habit. And this dad of one of my friends down at the beach ran out of the house because he heard me talking. And he got right in my face. He said, "Young man, you are making me sick with your language. And you stop all this cussing." And I just, "Yes, sir," you know. But it really woke me up. It was a good thing that happened to me that day. It woke me up. Think about what you're saying here and the words you're using. And God began to work on my heart to just get the language taken care of. And so, yes, the light will reprove. And it's a good thing. If you reprove or rebuke a righteous man, he'll love you for it. He will love you for it if you get up the gather the courage. But you have to be led of God. You don't go grabbing people by the lapels unless the Lord tells you, you know. But it's a good thing. And so it goes on to say then in verse 14, this is a word of encouragement for us. "Therefore," he says, and this is quoting Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1. "Awake, thou that sleep, We don't want to be sleepy about spiritual things. We don't want to be like Peter trying to pray. And what did he do? He fell asleep. So we don't want to be that way about spiritual. We want to wake, awake, awake, just wake up. You that sleep, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. As simple as that. Walk in the light, ask Jesus to fill you, and you will get excited about the things of the Lord. Of course, you got to rest. What goes up must come down. These are things you learn with age. Man, sometimes you just have this day, and the next day you're going. But that doesn't happen till later, guys, so don't worry. I've got some youth over here. They're still young and strong, yeah. Right? Okay, it's great. Oh, I miss youth. So, verse 15, okay, here we go. See then that you walk circumspectly. That means carefully. And John Luke was pointing out to me today after the first service circumspectly means actually that you really know how to walk deep down in your heart. And that word just brings us to a place of, you know, walking very carefully to please the Lord. Not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming your time, which means making the most of your time. I have this much time today. And how should I use that time? Well, Lord, use me today to be a witness for you. Lord, make me a light today in this world. Make me make a difference before you open the sky. And Iran and Russia get frisky. Lord, open my eyes to it all. Help me to make really good use of my time because the days are evil. Therefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, this is a command. God wants you to understand what His will is. What does that mean? Well, that means that He's going to make sure you do. And we just need to be open to it, have our antenna up, and ask Him. If any man asks for wisdom, God will give it to him. Simple as that. You will understand what the will of the Lord is. 1 John 5:14 and 15 say this: if you ask anything according to His will, He will hear you. And if He hears you, He will grant you the petition you've asked because it's a prayer for His will. So is it His will that we know His will? Yes! It is. Understand what the will of the Lord is, says the Lord to us. Understand what my will is. And then from 1 John 5, we simply ask Him for His will and to know His will. He's going to do it, absolutely, 100%, because He promised. That's a promise from God. He will hear you and He will answer that prayer because you and I both know it is His will for you to know His will. So when you start getting scared and being afraid that you're not hearing Him right, if your heart is pure before Him and asked, and just asking like a little child, you must proceed in faith and believe the Lord for His promise. Mix the promise with faith. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. Mix it with faith and say, Lord, you're going to show me because I asked you. Yes, sirree, Bob. And you will go forth then as He guides you continually. And He brings forth the fruit in your life and speaks to your heart and your mind, and He will direct you in the way you should go. And afterward, receive you to glory. Simple as that, straightforward. The Lord is not complicated as we simply trust Him. And now, one more thought then before we end. Let's look at Ephesians 5 and the last three verses, and I'm going to read all three. Because for the first time in studying this area of Scripture, I saw a connection between these three verses. Now, verse 18 says this: be not drunk with wine, wherein excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I've always taught this and believed this, that being drunk is Satan's cheap substitute for being filled with the Spirit. There's a contrast here. Be not drunk with wine or in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. And so God fills you with His Spirit to loosen up your tongue, to help you sing to Him, because He knows we need to sing. And the devil says, okay, how can I loosen up their tongues and get them to sing, come on baby, light my fire, or something like that, at a party? How can I do that and then make it turn into death and destruction, because that's my ministry? He goes about like a roaring lion looking whom he might destroy. So he, you know, gets going on Welch's grape juice, which is really good, and makes it stink and ferment, and the death is in it. And he says, come drink this. And did you know that booze is a depressant? Did you know that? So you got a depressed person, and what's he need to do? He needs to start singing to the Lord. He needs to be thankful to God, and that depression will lift. There's a dear sister dying of cancer right now in the hospital, and they're going to send her home on hospice just to die. There's nothing they can do. But you know what she said to me in the hospital yesterday? Can we sing? Can we sing to the Lord? I love to sing, and singing helps me. And so we just sang some songs, and we were just singing to the Lord, and her countenance began to lift, and the hope springing up in her heart for the time that she was singing to Jesus. Because what? God inhabits the praises of His kids. And when the depression is there, when the depression, and you say, I'm going to just go tie one on because I'm so depressed. And of course, sailors use that excuse every day. I think sometimes those guys that drink that are sailors. But the thing is this. What happens when you begin to give thanks to the Lord and to sing to Him is there's a lifting. And the depression begins to lift. And you begin to realize again that there's nothing in this life that you can face. The trouble of this present time is not even worthy to be compared to the glory that's going to be revealed in us when Jesus appears and takes us away. And that whole larger perspective breaks upon your heart when you sing praise to the King and you're joining with the four living creatures that cry, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come, around the throne of God 24/7. Those creatures are worshiping the Lord, and they have eyes all over them, so they can see really good and they understand really good who God is, and they can't shut up about Him. And so we're allowed to tap into that. We're allowed to tap into all that praise in heaven. And then God begins to inhabit those praises. And I begin to feel the presence of the living God who made heaven and earth and everything that's in it in my heart. And I am lifted. And so those things that are bothering me, they somehow, as the song says, grow strangely dim in the light. Walking in the light of His glory and His grace. And so in this comparison, we can see that Satan wants to destroy, for depression leads to drinking, which leads to more depression, and then maybe he can get you to take your life or some crazy thing like that. And then you get cirrhosis of the liver, and then you really got problems, and then you die. Wonderful future that Satan has for you. And so we read these things and we say, you know what? I think I'm going to steer clear of these things, and I'm going to decide to follow Jesus, and I'm going to walk in the light and put Him on instead of being deceived by the enemy to all of these things. Well, let's pray together. Father God, thank You so very much for this beautiful congregation. And I say that, I have to say that, because I'm so blessed with seeing the beauty of you in them. And Father, we do want to see your protective power on all of our lives. We know that the Spirit lusts against the flesh and the flesh against the Spirit. There's a war going on every day for us to go the wrong way. So Lord, help us to make the good choices to enter into your sanctification process. Lord, to be ready. Like the virgins, the lamps were filled with oil, which represents your Holy Spirit when you come. We thank you, God. Help us, Lord. Strengthen us, Lord, to go forward and not backward. So we're thanking you and giving you the glory for all the work you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. May the Lord bless you today. Give you a great, great day in him. If you need prayer, hang around. Prayer room's open for you. God bless you and keep you. In Jesus' name, amen.